Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome, 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 everybody, to a Saturday morning edition of the Zach Yelp Show right here on CBS Sports Radio and your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate or Sirius XM, channel 206, and the radio.com application. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. 855-212-4CBS is the number to jump on board. That's 855-212-4227. You could also give me a follow, shoot me a tweet on the good old cesspool of Twitter. And if your tweet is good enough, where you can find me at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB, I may even read it on the air for the next 4 hours that we have with you all the way up until 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific. We'll be joined by not one, not two, but three great guests coming up at the top of the hour. Phil Perry will join us. He covers the New England Patriots for NBC Sports Boston. He'll give us all the latest on this crazy and bizarre and ugly Robert Kraft situation in the 4 a.m. Eastern time hour, 1 a.m. Pacific. We'll be joined by Jerry Hairston Jr. right at the top of that hour. And then at 4:40 a.m. Eastern, 1:40 a.m. Pacific, Devin Bush, the former Michigan linebacker, Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. He's getting ready for the Combine next week and the eventual NFL draft. He'll stop by. He'll chat a little Michigan football with us and also what he is up to as he gets ready for the NFL draft. But where we start is with what all the sports world is talking about. And it's been a crazy week. You've had storyline after storyline out of the NBA, which is the never-ending merry-go-round of rumors, 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 where AD will go in the offseason via the trade market, where Kyrie Irving will go, where Kevin Durant will go, Kawhi Leonard, and so on and so on and so on. It's the same thing with the NBA. In college, you have two stories this week. It was Zion Williamson bursting through his shoe and then on the other leg suffering a mild injury, which does not look like it's going to be that serious, but it was in a game 30-plus seconds in where you had Duke and UNC. There was a lot of hype. There was tickets going for $10,000, $13,000, and we were excited to see that one, but it was disappointing because no one cared about the game once Zion Williamson did go out, and you get into the whole topic of conversation. Should he sit out? Will he play again? What will happen? We'll get into all that stuff. You also had the tragic story with Jim Boeheim driving home from a game after getting a meal with the family, bad weather conditions, sees a car that was in an accident on the road, and he tries to avoid it, ends up striking and killing a man, and Jim Boeheim will return to the sidelines coming up later today. There was no foul play involved from what we've read. So there's been a lot in sports this week. Manny Machado, as he does sign with the San Diego Padres, so much for really him not running out in the postseason, him not getting that big contract. He got a lucrative 10-year deal for $300 million. And then we're still waiting to see where Bryce Harper will go. Last night, John Middleton was in Vegas on the private plane going to visit Bryce Harper. But the biggest story, as you could say there was a big story one day, big story the next day, but the biggest story on this Saturday morning is what happened yesterday. And that was a future Hall of Fame owner in Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, who since 2001 have not only been the most dominant team in the NFL, but the most dominant and successful team in all of sports. And you've seen a story since 2001 really be what you couldn't even write if you were coming up with the best movie, because this was someone that grew up as a Patriot fan. This was someone that was a season ticket holder, saves the Patriots from moving out of the New England area, and then not only has success, but has unprecedented success getting to 9 Super Bowls under Brady and Belichick and winning 6 of them. And to start this month, they won their 6th Super Bowl as a franchise, and they won 13-3, and it was supposed to be an offseason all about celebrating this team. But this offseason does change significantly, and we'll see what happens because of it, because yesterday, Robert Kraft was charged with 2 counts of allegedly soliciting prostitution. And not only was he allegedly soliciting prostitution, but the establishment that he was going to in Florida was a part of a major sex trafficking scandal where some of the females who were involved were being held there against their own will. They were on visa. They came to the U.S., being told they would live a better life and promised jobs and all that. And they get there and their life is being a sex slave. So this story, I feel like more will happen out of this story. But what we know right now is Robert Kraft and many others, but Robert Kraft is the big name and he is the one that connects with the sports world. He's charged with 2 counts of allegedly soliciting prostitution. And the thought I had all of yesterday and even today was, what the heck is Robert Kraft doing? Seriously. You're worth billions and billions of dollars. If you needed to get your fix in some way, you have to go to a Miss Parlor, where use your imagination what happens there. I don't need to be graphic. This is a family-oriented program. You could read the reports. But this is what you're doing? And maybe it's because this is somewhere where he has a home and it's a very rich community and this was the talk of the town. And everyone was saying, oh, go here, go there. And he goes, oh, let me just be a regular person. Let me just be one of the guys in the community. But you're not one of the guys. You're the owner of not only an NFL team, but the most successful NFL team since 2001. So what is the positive thing that's going to happen out of this? You get caught, you get embarrassed. And not only do you get embarrassed, but the place you were going to was a part of a major sex trafficking scandal. So this is an ugly look for the NFL. It's an awful look for Robert Kraft. And this is a terrible, terrible start for what was supposed to be an offseason of the Patriots celebrating a championship, but now it drastically changes. Because you have an owner who is, you know, even if he's not guilty, it's the public embarrassment right now that you have to deal with. When he's charged with 2 counts of allegedly soliciting prostitution. And it's important to note that, and I think this is important to note, that that's all he's charged with right now. And we'll see what other information does come from this, but to what we believe right now, he had no knowledge of the sex trafficking scandal that was happening there. Now, he knew what he wanted when he went into that massage parlor, but he didn't know that the girls were being held there against their own will. And we'll see what other information will happen with this story. But it's ugly. And I get it. You're 77 years old. I get it. You're worth billions and billions of dollars. Maybe you think you're invincible. Maybe you think you could do whatever. But here's the bottom line. The bottom line is, why put yourself in that position? Why go to one of these strip mall Asian massage parlors? Why do that? I just don't get it. And now in terms of punishment, there's two ways of this. What will happen in the legal route and what will happen from the National Football League? Because guilty or not guilty does not matter in the NFL's eyes. We've seen that before. We've seen players that have had cases thrown out. We've seen other situations that have happened, and it doesn't matter. It's about the embarrassment that happens with the National Football League. And whether he's guilty or innocent, and he categorically denied it of any wrongdoing of an illegal manner, his representatives did that yesterday, and we'll speak about it later if that was the right or wrong approach, he's facing a punitive action from the league. Legally, as long as he had no knowledge of the sex trafficking that was occurring, most likely he'll just get a fine and have to do some community service. I don't think Robert Kraft, from what we know right now, is going to be serving jail time, but maybe more does happen with this story. But in terms of the league, well, Jim Irsay was driving in pair, and when that happened a few years ago, he ended up getting fined $500,000, which is peanuts to owners. We know that. And he also got suspended 6 games, which it's like, what does 6 games mean to an owner? You're not a player. You're not a coach. It means you have to sit on your couch instead of being in the fancy luxury box where they just show you on television and go, oh, here's the owner of the New England Patriots. Now, whenever the NFL season does open, if they play on Thursday or Sunday night, if he's suspended, he won't be a part of that ceremony. But I think that's not the biggest part of his problems right now. And it's not, oh, that he's going to get suspended by the league and he's going to get fined. And you know what? He'll probably get more than Irsay. If I had to take a guess right now with what we know, will somewhere be the fine of $500,000 to $1 million. And he'll probably get a suspension of anywhere from 6 to 8 games. It's not the what's going to happen from the league and what's going to happen legally, because in the big picture, a $500,000, $1 million fine is nothing to him. 6 to 8 games is nothing to him. Having to get a fine legally and community service, that doesn't mean anything to him. But it's the embarrassment that he has to live through now. That's the bigger thing from what we know right now. When you go to games on the road, people are going to be bringing this up to you. Your team is going to have to answer questions about this. Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, Devin McCourty has already done an interview about this. This is a major distraction for the New England Patriots. And this is not only an NFL owner that is being charged with allegedly 2 counts of soliciting prostitution, but it's one of the biggest owners in the league. And he's going to have to face the music right now of being a big part of a lot of jokes on the internet and a lot of jokes publicly and all that. But the only one he has to blame is himself if he was in that massage parlor. Only one he has to blame is himself. Because you have enough money, have someone come to your house or go to a high-end place. So the only one he has to blame is for himself. But the big picture here is what gets lost in this is that these women were being held against their own will. And that's absolutely disgusting. Now, Kraft may or may not have known that. Like I said, if I was a betting man, I would say that right now he did not know that. But we don't know that for a fact. So the bottom line is Kraft's being charged with 2 counts of allegedly soliciting prostitution. One of many people charged in this. And the place that he was at was a part of a major sex trafficking scandal in Florida. And we'll see what the response from the league will be moving forward. And we'll see what the legal ramifications are as well. Those are my takes on it. Love to hear your takes as well at 855-212-4CBS. And that, of course, is CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. And it's brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up at the top of the hour, Phil Perry will join us from NBC Sports Boston at 4 a.m. Eastern. Jerry Hairston Jr. And at 4:40 a.m. Eastern, former Michigan linebacker now trying to make it in the NFL, will be a draft pick coming up in this year's NFL draft, Devin Bush. It's the Zach Yelp Show. We're off and running, but we talk to you next at 855-212-4CBS.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb.
Zach Gelb shows CBS Sports Radio. You can follow me on Twitter at Zach Gelb. Where Carmen tweets me, and Carmen says, does Tom Brady call it quits now? Huh. What a tweet that is to start the show. That's the first tweet I got after we talked about Robert Kraft to open up the show. Does Tom Brady call it quits? Yeah, like what happened yesterday really matters for Tom Brady's playing future. This is going to make him retire. Come on. We got to be better than that, folks. But we're talking about Robert Kraft, the future Hall of Fame owner, the owner of the most dominant team in American sports since 2001. What has been a great story, a hardworking man, someone that used to be a fan in the stands, ends up owning the Patriots, keep the Patriots in the New England area, but now he has a problem on his hands. And he's charged with two counts of allegedly soliciting prostitution, which ended up being the establishment that he was at was a part of a major sex trafficking scandal in Florida. And we'll see what happens moving forward legally and then from the league side. Yes, I believe he'll be suspended. Yes, I believe he'll be fined. And then from the legal side, most likely probably just going to get a fine in community service. But we'll see what happens. You're innocent until proven guilty, but we know how the court of public opinion moves quickly. And I don't think Kraft, in terms of legally and the league, has too much to be concerned about. For what we know right now, it's more of dealing with the public embarrassment. Because this is embarrassing, there's no doubt about that. We start things off with Danny in Philly. Danny, go ahead. You're on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Zach. How you doing tonight?
Doing great. What you got?
Well, so first of all, I'd like to commend you for pointing out a particular aspect of this story. And I should note, I'm a third-year law student who's working as a prosecutor next year. And I've done a lot of quite a bit of research on sex crime rings and quite a bit of work on things like that. One thing I will say is that this this is not like just a guy going to a prostitute. You said it in your opening. These women were sex slaves. They were promised good jobs here. So this isn't, shall we say, just this isn't something. This is.
But it's also important to note out he didn't necessarily know that.
Well, let's put it like this. When in New York, where you're recording from, right? You guys had a governor up there who was spending something like $9,000 a night, Spitzer, 10 years ago, on prostitutes, and he had to resign for that. But they were consenting adults, and these. Look, I don't know that he knew. Kraft's obviously a very smart guy.
Not in this case. He was stupid here.
Well, yes, he's stupid, but he understands things. He can make connections. This was very dumb. And frankly, look, I agree with your assessment. It's highly unlikely, based on the information out there, that he will serve any jail time. I would be absolutely shocked. But I honestly, look, a DUI is a bad thing. I'm not going to defend what Jim Irsay did. And, he's had some history with substance issues. But what Robert Kraft did essentially here, and I know whether or not he knew it, that's a topic for a different debate. But I do think he probably should have known. And is contributing money to international sex trade. And this isn't picking up a prostitute on the street. And I think it's very important that aspect of the story not get lost.
Well, Danny, we appreciate the phone call. I got to let you run. I can't keep you on the air for the entire show. But here's the thing that it comes down to for me on this case. If it is him going to this place, and having what goes on in this massage place, if that's all that happens, yes, there will be a punishment from the league. Yes, he'll get a fine, a community service. Yes, it's illegal. But that's different from then him knowing that there were sex slaves at this place. If he knew that, then that totally changes everything. But with what we know right now, he's not going to lose the team. He's not going to have to be forced to sell the team with what we know right now. And he's facing 6 to 8 games probably and a $500,000 fine to $1 million is my assessment of it. But it's more the embarrassment that he has to deal with, if anything else. Alf in Michigan. Go ahead, Alf.
Hey, Zach, I'd like to make a couple points on this issue.
Yep.
I've been to these spots before, you know, and when you go in, it's an atmosphere. It's an environment. It's soothing. It's relaxing. You get the massage at the end and make a gesture. You want this, you want that, and you're feeling it, and you get it. There's no way you knew that it's going to be sex trafficking. Like, when you go in, they're on the game. They're performing. Unless you were crying for help doing the service, which, you know, knowing Kraft, then he would have done something about it. But, you know, it's just the overreaction. They're acting like he raped, like he knew all this stuff. There's no way. And you asked a question about why would a $1 billion man go? Well, you got to remember one thing, man. I mean, just because you got $1 billion, you're not immune to your temptation and your urges. When people still go to McDonald's and you got $1 million, I mean, I don't get that argument.
Well, the argument is if you needed to get those temptations and urges, you could have done it at a more high-end place, let's say, or maybe had it go into your home, something along those lines. I don't know. Billy, and I get it. Hey, the guy's 77 years old. If he needed to get his fix and that's what he wanted to do, that's what he wanted to do. But do you need to go to a strip mall Asian massage parlor? Think about it. I understand you have temptations and urges, but you're one of the most powerful owners in the league. Why put yourself in that situation? It's either he was just being so stupid or he wasn't even thinking. Because you're an easily recognizable human being. This isn't just Alf in Michigan walking into one of these places. So what you do is a little bit different than what Robert Kraft does. He's the owner of the Patriots. Matt in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Zach. Love the show. Just give me 20 seconds here and I'll rip it off. So I've been a Patriot fan for 30 years. I'm actually about 3 miles from Gillette right now. I was at the game Brady came in when Bledsoe got knocked out. Love the Patriots. And I can understand why everybody in the country really doesn't like the Patriots. And I have 2 daughters, and I've always been a supporter of the Patriots. But it all comes down to being doing the right thing and doing the wrong thing. And if you're one of the most powerful people in all of sports and you're stupid enough, and again, he's innocent until proven guilty, but if you're stupid enough to go to an Asian massage parlor being a multi-billionaire, I believe they should take the NFL, you know, with their PR nightmare that they've had over the last 10 years, I believe that they should take the franchise from him, let his son run it. The guy's just a complete and utter buffoon if he did in fact do this and if he did in fact know that there was human trafficking going on. Because as a father of 2 daughters and a father and a fan of the NFL, this story sickens me.
Well, we need to see more information, what does come from this. And yes, everyone is innocent until proven guilty, even though that does not mean in the court of public opinion that people can't make quick and hasty thoughts about this. But if it is just the 2 counts of allegedly soliciting prostitution and him walking into this Asian massage parlor, I don't think he's going to lose the team. You could be disgusted with it. You could be annoyed with it. It comes down to, did he know that the sex trafficking was occurring? And if he knew it, then you have a different conversation. But if he did not, and from what we know, he did not, then it's very simple. He's not going to lose the team. He's going to get a suspension. That means nothing. He's going to get fined. That means nothing to him. It's that public reputation. Because now you have Patriot fans like yourself, like the caller just said, that some, whatever he does, they'll support him. Others, maybe they have different thoughts about this because it's family that you have family involved in it, where you have a daughter and you wonder what was happening, you know, it makes you think about things a little bit differently. So that's the big thing to me. Did he know if these girls are being held against their own will? And hey, I have a tough time believing that he knew that. That's just me. And if I'm wrong, I'll be the first one to say I'm wrong. But that's my early feel on the story. JC, Kevin, we'll get you in on the other side. 855-212-4CBS. We see your phone calls on hold. We'll get to them.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb.
Zach Gelb shows CBS Sports Radio. So I got a few people tweeting me at Zach Gelb on Twitter that it's the perfect time for Jonathan Kraft to fully take over the team. And people clarifying that called like Danny in Philly saying, I didn't mean to say forced to sell, more that Jonathan should take over the team. Jonathan plays a big role in the team already currently constructed. And we know that Robert Kraft plays an even bigger role, and he's the face of that organization, along with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. If you maybe start to take a step out of the public spotlight and hand it over to Jonathan right now as you handle this ongoing matter, okay. But once this is resolved, do I think Robert Kraft is going to disappear? No, I do not. I don't think that's going to be the case. And if he gets suspended, he gets suspended. If he gets fined, he gets fined. He'll serve what the punishment is from the league. But I don't expect him to fade away and just have his son run it from here on out. Eventually, I do think there will be a day that you hand it over to your son and have him take a bigger role. I don't believe, though, that time in Robert Kraft's mind is now, but you never know how this situation will play out. It really comes down to what other details are going to surface, because this is a big story right now. It will be a big story tomorrow, big story the next day. Then if nothing else happens from this, it will start to not go out of the spotlight, because when you have owners' meetings and when Kraft ever speaks, or when you have the combine and things like that leading up to this and people make comments on it, yeah, it will be in the news, no doubt about it. But if nothing else happens out of this story in terms of Kraft's involvement that paints him in a worse light, then you just wait to see what happens from the league, and then that's the next big story from this. But if something happens tomorrow from this case in more detail that is even more damaging, then that's when this story will continue. I'm not saying this is going away anytime soon, but you know how it is, 24 hours after a story happens, 48, 72 hours, and then we'll see what the league does respond when more information does become available. We go to JC in Portland, Oregon, next up on CBS Sports Radio. JC, what's cooking?
Hey, great show. Interesting topic. I'm going to make a take that might not be popular, but this is my personal opinion. I don't think this was the second time this happened, third or fourth. I just think this was the first time he's ever been caught. And in my opinion, if you're worth that much money and you have that much to lose, and to do it in such a public place, it wasn't like he got one of his assistants to get a hotel for him, or one of his people he works with to get, an apartment or somewhere secluded. It was in a public place. For someone to be worth that much and to do it tells me one of two things. Either he's depressed, whether it's his wife's death or whatever, or he has some type of sexual addiction. The normal person with their state of mind, especially worth that much, wouldn't do something like this to lose all that. So it tells me that he wasn't thinking straight for whatever reason. Not excusing what he did at all, but when he sees a therapist or a psychiatrist, I'm sure the DA will probably, or his lawyers will have him talk to somebody, something's going to come out. This wasn't the second time this ever happened. This is just the first time he's ever been caught. I would guarantee you that when it comes out, he was done this before. So it tells me that maybe he has some type of an addiction, because if you're that rich, you would have someone to set it up for you, right? You would put yourself away from that. You wouldn't go in a public place. It wasn't like this was a secluded island in Jamaica and somebody's happened to show it, because people were walking into that place. An average Joe could have came in there and said, oh, hey, I went to this spa, and great, I saw Mr. Kraft, you know. Like, somebody could have just said that all by himself. So it tells me if you're in a public place and you're doing that in front of everybody, you're not in your right frame of mind. For whatever reason, maybe he has a sex addiction. Like, we don't know until it comes out. Maybe he's super depressed about something, his wife's death, the team, friends, family. Like, we don't know until that stuff comes out. But my thinking is, if you're gonna recklessly do this in front of people that, A, you don't know, in a public place, like I said, it wasn't somewhere secluded that someone just happened to see him. It was a public place, even though it was a strip mall, and I deserted a strip mall. It just told me that I think he has some type of addiction. I don't think he's going to lose his team. I think he'll probably get a fine. But I think when everything comes out, this isn't the second time this has happened. I'm guarantee you that this is the first time he's ever been caught. But you think this is only the second time he's ever done this? I just don't agree with that. I kind of want your thoughts about that.
Gotcha, JC. Hey, I'm not going to speculate. I can't get inside of his mind. I don't know what he was thinking. But I'll say this. This is not a regular Joe Schmo walking into a place. Now, same intentions, but this is the owner of the New England Patriots. So why put yourself in that position? Now, his wife did pass away in 2011 during the NFL lockout. It was late July 2011, Meyer Kraft. She and Bob together did a lot of philanthropy work, and Meyer was huge in the philanthropy process and raising a lot of money. After her death, he still currently dates a 39-year-old woman who did have a child. Now, it was not Kraft's kid. It was a child through someone else, but I believe they're still dating. And I don't know what he was thinking. He does have a residence in that area. And he was there. And I don't know why he went in there. You know, there's urges. There's things that, hey, we know why he went in there. Because we know what he wanted performed. If that was performed, I don't think he was just going in there for a back rub. But I can't sit here and tell you that he's been doing this 15,000 times or he has an addiction. I don't know. I can't speculate. And it's not fair for me to speculate to that point. But we'll see what happens. Because, yeah, I understand people that says, let's say there has to be more than him just getting charged with two counts of allegedly soliciting prostitution. But I think it's important to separate for now, and it doesn't exonerate him. But from what we know right now, there's being charged with soliciting a prostitution, and then what is the bigger picture here? And what makes this story very ugly is that where he was going was a part of the major sex trafficking scandal. And I'm not saying he definitely knew what was going on, but that's what makes this story even more disgusting. It's because if he just got busted for going to one of these massage parlors, it's a story that goes away. But because of the fact that it's a part of what was a major scandal, that is extremely a bad look, not only for him, but for the National Football League. Kevin in Charlotte. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, Zach. What's up? Hey, listen, you compare Jim Irsay to this owner, to Mr. Kraft. I mean, you can't compare apples to oranges. I mean, if you want to say that DUI is the same as, a man eliciting sex.
I didn't compare it. I'm just saying the league gave out a punishment of $500,000 in six games, and that was the last time that an owner got suspended. So, if you look at it in terms of embarrassing the league, you have to think it's going to be in similar, or it could be even worse. But it wasn't just, the driving while impaired. There was a whole lot more to this Irsay story, if you look it up online.
Right, right. But at the end of the day, I mean, this heinous act will cause him to lose the New England Patriots.
No.
There's no way that the NFL can have this black eye. I mean, you talk about human trafficking as though it's, jaywalking. I mean, I don't know where you get your information from. I mean, you're speaking like you're a 19-year-old or something.
How am I talking like this is jaywalking? I said the guy should be embarrassed, but if you listen to what he's being... Hold on, Kevin. Let me speak. It's my show, for crying out loud. But if you listen to people, and I don't have a law background, but if you listen to people that have a legal background, with what they know right now, they're saying most likely he's facing a fine in community service. I'm going off what people that have a law background and study these things say. I'm not treating this lightly. Come on.
So the people with a law background is talking about human trafficking. I mean, because that's big picture here. You're looking right past the big picture. okay? You can talk about him having sex and him paying $57 or whatever, but no, we're talking about people who being trafficked. And not traffic just here in the U.S., traffic across the world.
Yes,
across the
and
world.
I said that's
this
awful.
This is no small matter. This is no small matter. This is no small matter.
But
this
the question is, hold on.
In those six
Kevin,
to eight
Kevin, once again, the question is, did he know that those women were being held there against his own will? If he's just going in there to do what he's doing, hey, it's not legal in where he was. I get that. But if he knew that the sex trafficking was going on, that's a different story. And trust me, he would lose his team. But we don't know if he knew that or not. You don't know that either. You don't. Zach in South Carolina. Zach, go ahead.
Hey, Zach. Good evening. Thank you for taking my call. This is a sad situation, okay? But, however, you know, I know your show is about sports, and I love it. But coming from my perspective, I think it's kind of odd that Robert Kraft is being investigated for an eight-month period, and it comes right around the time where he signs a deal for social justice reform. I find it kind of odd that now this is being brought up.
But why would the authorities? Why would the authorities? Okay, I get what you're saying, but I don't know. We can make 900 conspiracy theories about this with everything. I would like to think our law enforcement would just operate with the information they were given off of a case and what their investigation did found in that, so they rule. If you're going to say that it's because of the bigger picture with the whole police brutality stuff, yeah, I'm not buying into that one.
But one thing, Zach, I'm looking at actually a list of the individuals involved. Are you aware that at least 50% of the list, the gentlemen were born in the 50s?
Yeah, older crowd, and he's living in a rich area, so
yeah. I mean that's really shocking. So I would just think right off top of head that this is not no rinky-dink place, you know. Like JC said, the earlier caller, you know, this can't be the first time. And, I mean, it's like the kettle calling the pot black. You know, there's so many people in this world that have done something wrong.
Zach, appreciate it. Got to let you run him up against it. And it's tough to speculate on this one. And that's why I go off with the facts that we know right now. And the facts that we know right now, I can't sit there and tell you that he knew 1,000% what was going on, but he was stupid to be in there. He was. Phil Perry, he'll join us next.
Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
We did the first hour, 20 minutes on Robert Kraft. We'll get back into it later on during the program. I want to speak about the Steelers and the Cowboys because you have two organizations right now that have two coaches on the hot seat. Let's start with the Steelers. Here's what we found out this past week. Antonio Brown met with owner Art Rooney II. Both parties agreed that it's best to move on, and Antonio Brown is going to get traded, even though Kevin Colbert, the GM for the Steelers, said, well, we're not just going to take anything. I know he has to say that. I know you can't walk into a negotiations with the public comments of, yeah, we're definitely going to trade him, and that's it, because then teams won't give anything for you. I'm wondering what AB, or he's no longer called AB, now he's called Mr. Big Chest, will end up getting the Steelers back in the trade. Because Mr. Big Chest should really sign off the social media and give it a break. Because what was happening on his social media account on the elliptical, sweating and not making sense, I'm a little concerned for him. I was saying this when I was on Pharrell's show. Imagine if I was a talk show host and I went on Instagram Live on an elliptical, which you don't usually see too many talk show hosts on ellipticals, but I started getting on the elliptical, sweating, working out, and I started lecturing everybody, you got to outwork your opponent. And your opponent is not the competition. It's not who's on ESPN. It's not who's on Fox. My opponent's myself. And let me speak in the third person. It's ZG. And ZG has to beat ZG. And nobody works harder than ZG. and all these other program directors out there, listen, I don't want no negative energy. Hire me, because I'm ZG.
Call me Mr. Big Chest.
ZG got to outwork ZG. Like, he sounded crazy.
Big Chest Brown from now on.
And I sound crazy when I speak like that. So we'll see what Antonio Brown gets back. Hey, he's a heck of a wide receiver, best wide receiver in football. But what happened this year, going missing time from time, skipping out on the final game of the season, what happened with the balcony, yikes. Something seems wrong there. But maybe a new team and more straight cash, homie, will get him motivated.
Don't even call me AB. Just call me Big Chest. Yeah, Mr. Big Chest.
Maybe they should call me Mr. Big Mouth as a talk show host. Or some people may say, just call me Mr. Bloviating Jackass. That as well. But you have the Antonio Brown situation. Excuse me. Mr. Big Chest. And we know that situation is coming to a close. Then you have Le'Veon Bell. And he gets on Twitter and he starts saying, oh, now he's free. I didn't love the wording of his tweet. I don't think you could compare your situation or start quoting the great late Martin Luther King and start saying that you're free at last on Twitter. That did not sit well with me because you're a professional athlete. You turned down $14.5 to $15 million to play football this year. So I didn't love the way that he went about this, but I don't really have a problem other than that with Le'Veon Bell. I get what he was doing. He wants a long-term contract, so he sits out. He wasn't going to risk it where he's probably going to get $50, $60 million this year. Now, he's not going to get $50 million over 2 years like he thinks he is, but a team like the Jets, a team like the Colts, someone that has a lot of money and could help out their quarterback will be in on Le'Veon Bell. But the Antonio Brown situation is the bigger one. And it's not just him with the problems in the Steelers organization, or as they say in hockey, the organization. The problem with Antonio Brown, it's not just him, and he's a big part of the problem. But you have Big Ben Roethlisberger, which Graceffo's been all over on this part of this entire conversation, just ripping a receiver and other members of the team on a radio show, and no one else in the Steelers organization will tell him he's wrong. Even after it means the star wide receiver has had enough of Big Ben, Kevin Colbert, the GM, doubled down and says, oh yeah, people should listen to Ben. And sometimes being a leader and a star and a two-time Super Bowl champion, it's a burden being a leader when you have to deal with 52 children. So no one else in that locker room is capable of being a leader. Everyone else in that locker room is a petulant little three-year-old that resembles Brian Jack McKeon maybe in looks. Sorry, McKeon, that was an unnecessary shot. But McKeon, I think he's clean-shaved right now. He looks like he could go to a bar mitzvah tonight.
Big Chest Brown from now on.
But this is the problem with the Steelers. They don't learn. You had the Killer Bees, Brown, Bell, Ben. And what did you win? Nothing. So you need to learn something from this when Bell wants out and when Brown wants out. And you're going to have a much different team next year. You need to stop with all this drama. You need to stop the quarterback ripping players. You need to stop all the sideshow that happens with the Steelers. And the coach is someone else that has to get a big percentage of the blame. Because he's running the organization. He's running the players. And he didn't have control of that locker room the last few years. And you can just tell by the mentality of that team, they overlooked the Jaguars not once but twice 2 years ago. And one of them was for a playoff game. But Kevin Colbert told me everything I needed to know. I don't expect the Steelers to change much. Because they genuflect to every single word that Big Ben says. So, yes, Mike Tomlin, I get it. The Steelers don't make many changes. Three coaches since 1969. Noel, Cowher, Tomlin. But this year, you should go into the season knowing if you don't turn this around and get this team back into the playoffs, I think you'll be without a job the following year. Now, another team may hire you, and I think he's a well-respected coach, but the situation right now is ugly. Then we get to the Cowboys. I saw Jerry Jones the other day said that him and his coach, Jason Garrett, have real trust. Well, Jerry, I know you love Jason Garrett, but if you have real trust with Jason Garrett, after a year, they started off 3-5, everyone said you were dead. And next year, no, this upcoming season, it's his final year of his contract. And the Cowboys turned it around. Jerry Jones did a very nice job. His son did a very nice job. And Jason Garrett did a very nice job. You got into the playoffs after a 3-5 start. You won your opening round game, and then you lost in the divisional round to the Rams. But if you have real trust, quote-unquote, real trust, wouldn't you then extend him? But that's Jerry Jones not going to publicly rip his coach, but that quote tells me everything I need to know. Because if you had real trust, you would have given him the extension. But to be honest, I don't think it's the right move to give him the extension because he's been inconsistent in his career. So tremendous year last year, how they were able to turn around, but I'm not going to extend him 3, 4, 5 years. He has to prove it again. So Jerry Jones can phrase it all he wants. This is a year for Jason Garrett. You better make the playoffs, and that may get you an extension, but you better go far into the playoffs because you have a good defense, you have a good offensive line, and you have a good running back. And Dak, to me, is a game manager and an average to above average quarterback. You have enough pieces there. I'm not saying to win a Super Bowl, but you have enough pieces to do some damage, especially with the way that defense does play. So with the Steelers, do you have any confidence they're going to turn this around after hearing Kevin Colbert, their GM, say what he had to say this past week? And if you're the Cowboys, are you okay with not giving Jason Garrett an extension on the final year of his deal entering this season? Or do you think Jason Garrett should get the real trust from Jerry Jones, and Jerry Jones, who has real trust for Jason Garrett, should have given Jason Garrett an extension in this offseason?
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll take your phone calls on Mike Tomlin and Jason Garrett in just a moment at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. I have two other stories, though, that I want to get to. Let me start off with Case Keenum. He said he was shocked over the Joe Flacco trade. That makes two of us, but I think for different reasons. For Case Keenum, he's shocked that I guess he's being replaced. I'm shocked that John Elway's decision was to go trade for Joe Flacco. Not that he's horrible, but when you have swung and missed on many quarterbacks post number 18 and Peyton Manning, you need to find a long-term resolution. And yes, Joe Flacco, maybe it works for a year or two, but I think you're naive if you think your team is close to winning. So I would have invested on a younger quarterback or someone that you think could stick around for more than 2 years, because I don't think Flacco's going to have this long run. I would have looked to make a move for the future. But Mr. Elway did not elect to go that way. He went with the older veteran in Joe Flacco. And they didn't risk anything by trading away what is reported a fourth-round pick. But for Case Keenum to be shocked, he threw for a little over almost 3,900 yards last year. And he had 18 touchdowns to 15 interceptions. You were not in the quarterback play last year that would make anyone believe, especially when your team was awful. I believe they were 6-10. At one point, we thought they were going to make the playoffs. They were 6-6 at one point, and then they just threw up on themselves all down the stretch. What makes you think that you are entitled to be the starting quarterback next year? So you're shocked by this? No. Maybe you're just shocked that this is the guy they're replacing you with, because how much better at this stage of his career is Joe Flacco than Case Keenum? Better, but not by much, in my estimation. And Case, little piece of advice. Maybe you should not have finished the year in weeks 15, 16, 17 two interceptions in week 15, two interceptions in week 16, and one interception in week 17. And you started off the year with 8 straight games with at least one interception. 11 games total this year where you threw at least one interception. And 3 games where you threw at least two or more interceptions. And then 1, 2, 3, we'll do a little math here, 4, 5 games with no touchdowns. The most touchdown passes you had in a regular season per game this year were 3. Get the point? Stats not good enough. Just not good enough. Okay, now to a different topic of conversation. Anyone hear Don Nelson the other night? They were honoring the Warriors team that defeated the Mavericks when the Warriors were 8, the 8th seed, and the Mavericks were number 1. Here's Don Nelson at the podium giving us an update of the fine life he lives right now.
Can each of you talk briefly about what you've been doing after basketball? Coach, I know you live in Hawaii, right? So
yeah, I've been smoking some pot, actually.
That's unbelievable. That's great. And what makes it so awesome is he didn't have to give that answer because he eventually explains what he was doing, and we didn't keep that part in there because who cares what he's actually up to these days? But he just is so transparent. Yeah, I'm smoking pot.
Yeah, I've been smoking some pot.
I played in the NBA. I coached in the NBA. But now I'm smoking pot. That's Don Nelson. What do you think Don Nelson McKeon's food of choice is when he gets the munchies? What type of food do you think he eats? Oreos? Are you saying that's what happens with you? You a big Oreo guy?
I enjoy Oreos.
So McKeon says he's a big Oreo fan.
Goldfish, too.
Goldfish? Little Cheez-Its?
No, not Cheez-Its. Goldfish. Two different things, Zach.
No, I know. I'm just giving something else. Cheez-Its are good. Pretzels are good.
Goldfish are a whole category above.
Ice cream are good.
Ice cream are good?
Yeah, ice cream's good.
Ice cream is good, not ice cream.
All right. What are you, one of those Twitter trolls? Come on. McKeon trying to punch back. I need like a little fly swatter to just hit McKeon with in this studio. You like burgers, by the way, McKeon? You a big burger fan?
Who doesn't? I'm an American. Of course I like burgers.
Graceffa, you a fan, by the way?
Come on, really?
Sure.
Yeah, that wasn't very convincing.
No, I am.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been smoking some pot. Yeah.
Have either of you two guys ever been to the West Coast, by the way?
I have.
Yes.
Have you ever had an In-N-Out burger?
Awful.
No.
Okay. McKeon, actually, with the take I may agree with. Not saying it's awful. Just overrated.
Outrageously overrated.
So when I went to San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, all I heard about was you have to get the In-N-Out burger and you have to order it double-double, like animal style, I think was the terminology. Whatever that means. So I had this In-N-Out burger. I didn't think it was anything that special. But maybe if you smoke a little reefer like Mr. Nelson, maybe the In-N-Out burger could taste very well.
I think a big thing is on the East Coast, we overrate In-N-Out burger because we don't have it here. So since we don't have it, we think it's better. That's how people always react.
But on the West Coast, they tell you it's the greatest thing ever.
Well, it's not. They're wrong.
I think it's overrated.
They also think skateboarding's cool, so.
Oh, what's wrong with skateboarding? Just because you can't do it. You don't have to bash it. Well, De'Aaron Fox, who plays for the Kings, he said In-N-Out Burger was garbage. Did not resonate too well with the fans of the Sacramento Kings.
My new favorite player.
I didn't know they had fans with the Sacramento Kings, but they do. A friend of mine that does TV out there, Marshall Harris, he talked to a bunch of fans, and some fans were like, yeah, maybe he just has to leave the area. Talking about De'Aaron Fox. That's what some fans said. And De'Aaron Fox quote tweeted the Marshall Harris interview with some of these fans. And Marshall's having fun with it. You know, De'Aaron gets that. He said, guess what? In-N-Out, it's still trash. That's a bold move. You're a Kings player. You're going to say In-N-Out Burger's trash. I'm an East Coaster. I went there once, was told it was great. didn't really think it was anything that special. I thought it was like a little bit better than like a McDonald's burger, to be honest.
Shake Shack or In-N-Out? Because Shake Shack's more East Coast.
Shake Shack.
Five Guys or In-N-Out?
I was once a cook at Five Guys. I've never had a Five Guys burger after being a cook there. I thought Five Guys was good. A little too greasy for me.
Yeah, I have a rule with Five Guys. To me, it's a quarterly meal. I can only have it four times a year. I feel like any more than four times a year and I'm at risk of a heart attack.
Well, the first time I worked there, like when we had the training, I was getting ready and we were cooking up the staff burgers and everything, and I had to clean the grease traps. And I, you know, you put the grease into the bucket. I spilled the grease bucket. That was a crazy scene. It was like a volcano erupting. Everyone went running. They were so scared for their lives with the grease going everywhere. So much grease in those burgers. But yeah, I'm a Shake Shack guy. I do like Shake Shack. But In-N-Out, just not my thing. Ronnie in Arlington. Ronnie, you got about a minute to the top of the hour, but go ahead.
Okay, hey, real quick, guys. There is an In-N-Out in Arlington, Texas, just so you know.
Are you a fan?
By the way, no, I'm a Whataburger guy through and through. And then number two is, it is insane that you think it's okay to reward mediocrity like the 2-3 record Jason Garrett has in the playoffs to give him an extra contract for any type of term. He should have been gone this year. We got a Marvin Lewis situation on our hands, and we need to handle it quick.
He's better than Marvin Lewis because he actually, you know, has won some playoff games. Not a lot, but I'm not defending Jason Garrett. I just sat here and told you, and maybe you're talking more about your fan base, but if you were listening, and sometimes I tap this microphone and go, testing 1-2, testing 1-2-3-4, is this thing on? I just told you that I would not give him an extension either. He has to prove himself this year. Because in his career, 5-3, 8-8, 8-8, 8-8, 12-4, 4-12, 13-3, 9-7, 10-6. He's 2-3 in the postseason. So, no, I'm not running to give him an extension. Prove it to me this year. Do well. Because last time you made the playoffs, and I know Zeke was suspended, you missed the playoffs, then you returned to the playoffs this year. You got to have better consistency. So, yeah, I'm not extending Jason Garrett. He has to prove it to me this year. We'll talk to Jerry Hairston Jr. next. A little baseball coming up on CBS Sports Radio.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb.
Good morning. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Final segment here on a Saturday morning. I'm in a very calm mood right now. I'm just sipping my cup of coffee for the first time today. As when I was sitting here, I started to get a little bit tired. And I go, yeah, I got about an hour drive home. So had to sip a little coffee. So we got some coffee. We got some sports talk. It's a Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Brian Jack McKeon's still here. James Graceffo's still here. And now you're going to hear words of wisdom from one James Graceffo, because it's time to play a little game I like to call Onsides Offsides. Hit it!
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Graceffo, what do you got for me?
Zach, in the most shocking news of the week, Patriots owner Robert Kraft was implicated for soliciting sex in Florida. Kraft is, of course, one of the most publicized owners in the in not just the NFL, but of all of sports. Rarely does an NFL Sunday go by where we don't see the Pats owner on a television screen when his team is playing. Now the question will obviously be what punishment Kraft will take from the NFL. So onside, offside, we will see Robert Kraft on television this season.
Onsides. I don't think he'll be suspended for the entire season. And even if he is, they got some old footage of him. They'll still show him.
I wasn't thinking about that.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to count that as an answer.
Well, that's why I'm the host.
Yeah, that should not count as an answer.
So the question more should be, will Robert Kraft be suspended the entire
yes,
season?
That's what I was hinting at.
Gotcha. Okay, then it's offsides. Robert Kraft will not be suspended the entire season.
Offsides.
Offsides, hit it.
Offsides.
One more time.
Offsides.
Okay.
Offsides. Offsides.
All right, enough.
We got to get out of here. So sticking with
how it happens when you let children run the board.
Well, I know. Sticking with the NFL, Broncos quarterback Case Keenum spoke for the first time since the Joe Flacco trade. Keenum told the Sports Spectrum podcast that he was shocked and surprised that the Broncos made the move to acquire Flacco. Despite Vance Joseph being fired, the Broncos going 6-10, and Keenum having a lackluster season. So onside, offside, Case Keenum will be an NFL starter next season.
By starter, you mean not just starting one game?
He will have a starting job in the league.
Offsides. So it's not going to be in Denver. They're going to stick with Joe Flacco. So then if Case Keenum gets released, which is the most likely scenario because I don't know who's going to trade for him, your options are maybe the Redskins.
Jacksonville,
I think, will go Nick Foles.
Dolphins?
I don't know. Keenum, to me...
Couldn't you see him playing for one of those three teams as like a veteran stopgap?
Yeah, he could.
Being the starter out of camp.
He could, but I think teams realize he's a backup. So maybe if you want to throw him to the Wolves as a punching bag for 6 to 7 weeks in week one before
right, these
you
are
go
all teams
future.
That are probably either drafting a quarterback or taking a chance on a younger quarterback.
Yeah, I still think he's going to be a backup next year. He can maybe start a game or two, but I think he's a backup next year. So offsides.
Offside.
Question number three.
Seems like you disagree with that one.
I do. I think there's a good chance he's breaks camp as a starter next year somewhere.
So Redskins quarterback next year, Case
Redskins,
Keenum.
Dolphins, Jacksonville, take your pick.
Well, for the Jaguars, like, let me just listen, you know, speak this one out. So the Dolphins, I would understand. The Redskins, I would understand. Those teams are going nowhere next year, and they don't have their future in place yet. The Jaguars need to make a move that inspires confidence because they have a team that maybe could turn it around next year. Case Keenum, to me, does that inspire confidence? Nah, it doesn't. So Redskins I could see maybe, Dolphins I could see maybe. If the Jaguars make that move, that's a bad decision. But continue.
Moving on, Clippers owner Steve Ballmer made some public comments for the first time in quite a while concerning his basketball team. Ballmer told The Athletic that he does not want his team to tank despite trading away Tobias Harris, Boban, and Mike Scott to the 76ers before the trade deadline. The Clippers are currently 33-27 and sit in 8th in the Western Conference, which means they're likely to get smoked by the Warriors in the first round. Onside, offside, the Clippers should reverse course.
I'm going to say... So wait, when you say reverse course, you mean
they should start losing games.
I don't think they should start losing games. Here's why. It's too late in the process to start tanking. Hawks have 19 wins. Bulls have 15 wins. Cavs have 13 wins. The Knicks have 11 wins. The Grizzlies have 23. The Suns have 11. And the Clippers already have 33.
What is it worth to make the playoffs as the 8th seed in the Western Conference?
Here's what it's worth. Even though these players aren't going to be a major part of your future, you have a team that is not really going to benefit by tanking and then getting like the 11th or 10th pick in the draft or the 12th pick. So you want to have as much positivity, as much momentum building with a team that's not that good. And you have an owner people like, you have Jerry West who people respect who's there. So it will build much momentum and it will be looked at as maybe a positive destination. So if someone doesn't want to go to New York and play for the Knicks and the Nets, maybe Kevin Durant goes there. Maybe Kyrie Irving goes there. Who knows? But when you're already 33-27, you're too late in the game to tank.
You take a lot of positivity about getting smoked by the Warriors in four games.
But what good does it do you now? When if you tank,
I get it. The horse is kind of out of the barn. But my overall point is, what's the point of making any playoffs when you know you're going to get killed in the first round?
Well, yeah, you don't. But the thing is, at least you got there with the roster that doesn't look that good.
So
if you add a
golf
Kevin
clap
Durant,
for getting there,
yeah,
great. But I don't think that's going to impact the free agent's decision either way.
That's fair. But like, look at the Nets for example. The Nets are 30-30. Are the Nets going to
totally
do damage?
Different in the Eastern Conference.
I get that, but the Nets aren't the Bucks, the Raptors, the Sixers, or the Celtics.
And plus, you have a little bit more of a chance to at least get a game off of those teams in the Eastern Conference.
Now, maybe the Warriors give them a sympathy card. Maybe they say thank you for showing up. We'll give you a game.
And plus, if you're the Nets and you haven't been to the playoffs in a million years, that's something where I would say, hey, we could take this as a positive going forward.
Okay.
Moving on, the fallout from
contentious segment, by the way.
No, I wasn't trying to be.
No, I'm just messing.
Okay.
I hate when people disagree and they go, oh, that was real contentious. Oh, we can't get along.
Yeah, no, clearly.
Like, if sports radio would be so boring if everyone had the same opinion. And you know what? If we all had the same opinion as Graceffo McKeon, I'd have a lot of freezing cold takes.
And you'd
have
a lot of problems. You'd have a lot of problems.
Yeah.
The fallout from the Zion Williamson shoegate had many ripples throughout the basketball world, from Nike's responsibility to Paul George defending his make of shoe Zion was wearing. Warriors big man DeMarcus Cousins weighed in and called college basketball and the NCAA BS, and said college basketball does nothing for Zion at this point. Onside, offside, DeMarcus Cousins is in the right.
In this case, he's in the right. College basketball does nothing for Zion Williamson anymore. However, I would not say, even though there's a lot of BS in college basketball, I would not say all of college basketball is BS, because there's a lot of great storylines, even though there's a lot of bad storylines. And I think college is a valuable experience. But for someone who was viewed as a transcendent player, there's no need for him to show up at Duke for a year. There just isn't. This kid could go to the NBA right now, and if he was given that choice, and I know he said he went to Duke and he always wanted to play college basketball and everything like that and wanted to play for Coach K, blah, 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 blah. But if there wasn't a rule in place, which now they're saying they may push that rule back to what it originally was, which 18 being the age limit for the NBA, the age minimum, then Zion Williamson may have never have elected to go to Duke. So for Zion Williamson, yes, it's BS, but for many other college athletes, it's not BS.
Last one. Syracuse head coach Jim Boeheim unfortunately was involved in an accident during the week and fatally struck a man while driving back from a game. Boeheim thankfully did everything right in the situation, was ultimately ruled an accident. Boeheim will coach the Orange later today against Duke in a game that is ripe with storylines. So onside, offside, Jim Boeheim should coach later today.
See, this is a tricky one. You're a legend, Jim Boeheim. And what happened is an absolute tragedy. You're driving home. You just beat Louisville. You get a little dinner with the family. Bad weather. Another car on the road. And one of the people that were in their car, that car, got out of the car. You try to swerve to avoid that car, and you end up hitting a human being. Now, there's no foul play involved from what we heard from authorities, but everyone deals with death differently. And some people want to get to their job the next day. Some people don't. And he didn't know this person, but it's still a great shock, and you still killed a man. So I don't have a huge problem with him coaching, but I think it would be best to take a little time off, 2 games, a week off, because all the storyline is going to be today is, oh, here's Jim Boeheim. Here's what happened to him earlier in the week. Now, when he returns, it would be a storyline, but it's not as fresh, and it's not as much as it would dominate the entire game as if it happens a few days after what did occur. So I would say Jim Boeheim should probably sit this one out later today. All right. Onsides, offsides. We'll close it down. What was the original question was, should he coach today?
Yes.
Okay. And then I said, he should not. So, can we get an offside? There we go. Had to end the segment there on the right note.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.